The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, a really warm welcome, everybody. Thank you, Neil, for putting that in the chat box. So some of you know that the past few times I've been teaching, I've been using some different phrases from metta. Like it may be like goodwill, might be something that's a little bit better than loving kindness, so that it doesn't suggest a certain amount of intimacy that wouldn't be so appropriate. And look, it seems like is my internet okay? Am I doing okay? So we can translate metta as loving kindness. We can also translate it as goodwill. And maybe for some people, it feels more like loving kindness. And other people, maybe it feels like goodwill. And then I'd like to throw another word in the mix. And that is this word, care. Like we can care for people that we don't know. We can care for others without a lot of intimacy or suggestion for something that's going to happen in the future, you know, without creating expectations for things, for how things are going to be. And we can just have this warm-hearted approach or to those we meet, have some openness. And who knows, there might be occasions in which there's something that's really beautiful that bubbles out just the beginning, just starts with care, and then that initial care allows something else to grow and blossom, so to speak. So I'd like to read this story. It's very short, but I find it to be heartwarming and is one way. Well, whoops, I have to let these poor people in the out of the waiting room. So this is one way in which care, we might say, blossomed without any expectation that that's always how things would show up, but just to be inspired that this does happen, this can happen. So this story is called Gate A4 by Naomi Shihab Nye. Some of you may know her. She's a well-known poet. But this isn't a poem, it's a story. So here we go. Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal, after learning my flight had been delayed 4 hours, I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate A4 was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor wailing. Help, said the flight agent. Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be late, and then she did this. I stooped to put my arm around the woman and spoke haltingly. Shudawa shubit uk habiti stanishwe minfadlik shubit sewi. The minute she heard any word she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought the flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for major medical treatment the next day. I said, no, we're fine. You'll get there just later. Who is picking you up? Let's call him. We called her son. I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and right next to her. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons just for the fun of it. Then we called my dad, and he and she spoke for a while in Arabic and found out, of course, they had 10 shared friends. Then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took up 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling of her life, patting my knee, answering questions. She had pulled out a sack of homemade mamul cookies, little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, from her bag, and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with the same powdered sugar. And smiling, there is no better cookie. And then the airline broke out free apple juice from huge coolers, and two little girls from our flight ran around serving it. And they were covered with powdered sugar too. And I noticed my new best friend, by now we were holding hands, had a potted plant poking out of her bag, some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in. The shared world. Not a single person in that gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. Just this idea of maybe with some openness, a little bit of care, maybe it blossoms into something beautiful. Maybe not too, right? No guarantees. But Naomi Shihab Nye, she ends with, this can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. So maybe we'll do some loving kindness practice to soften and open our hearts and our minds so that who knows what kind of situations we might find ourselves in. And maybe we too can be covered with powdered sugar like all these people. Okay, so we'll start with a little bit of mindfulness. Just taking a meditation posture. And feeling into what it feels like today to be in this body, in this posture. Feeling the pressure against the body. Feeling rooted, just like our friend at the airport, she had a plant with her to help her feel rooted. We can feel connected to what we're sitting on. Maybe a little bit of a body scan, checking in with the face, common place we hold tension. The eyes, the jaw. Checking in with the shoulders. allowing the spine to be holding the body up, and feeling how the limbs can relax from the side of the spine, like the torso is held up with the spine, and the limbs then don't have to hold the body up. Or however your posture is there a way in which there's a sense of balance or ease? Relaxing the belly. And then bringing our attention to the sensations of breathing. Feeling the stretching, the contraction, the movement goes with in-breaths and out-breaths. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring into mind a lovable being. And I've been using test driving different phrase. You're welcome to stay with the classic phrases. But connecting with the lovable being, feeling the warm-heartedness, feeling the care, respect, goodwill. We can say this phrase. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness. And be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness. Be willing and able to act on those causes. Connecting with the lovable being, allowing ourselves to feel nourished or supported by the warm-heartedness we have for this lovable being. Whether it's somebody you know, somebody you don't know, that you feel inspired by. And then to expand our loving kindness to ourselves. May I understand the causes for true happiness. Be willing and able to act on those causes. May I understand the causes for true happiness. Be willing and able to act on those causes. May I understand the causes for true happiness. Be willing and able to act on those causes. And then extending our loving kindness, our metta. Maybe it's not loving kindness, maybe it's care or goodwill. Just someone we don't know, a neutral person. Maybe it's somebody here in this Zoom call. Or maybe it's somebody you see in the neighborhood. Bringing that person to mind. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. With a neutral person, bringing them to mind. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. Often we don't know people's stories. Sometimes we might look at them and have a sense or a feeling that's completely inaccurate. So can we have a non-closed heart? Can we have goodwill? The story at the airport. Everybody covered with powdered sugar. May you understand the causes for true happiness. Be willing and able to act on those causes. Can we expand it to include a challenging person for us, not the most difficult person, but a challenging person, bringing them to mind. And expand our metta, expand our goodwill. May you understand the causes for true happiness. And be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness. And be willing and able to act on those causes. If we find that working with a difficult person doesn't feel right, we're tipping into anger or rehashing conversations or events, then we can go back to the lovable person, ourselves, and refresh. And then maybe go back again if it feels like that might be fruitful. And then we can expand our loving kindness even further for all beings. May all beings understand the causes for true happiness. And be willing and able to act on those causes. May all beings understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. May all beings understand the cause for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. And then to end this meditation, you can feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. When you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of metta is care, caring enough to show up maybe or be open, and maybe something beautiful blossoms from that. Maybe you make a new friend, maybe you help create a sense of warmth and shared experience without expecting that every time would be like that. right? We don't want to kind of be Pollyanna-ish and assume that everything's going to be wonderful. But what an easier way to move through the world, right? Instead of trying to push people away, instead to have a sense of possibility. Yeah, maybe there is something warm and connecting that might arise here without insisting or demanding or even necessarily expecting, but not being closed to the idea. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you could talk about this idea of metta as care, and care showing up as kind of being open to what might arise next, as opposed to being closed off, and who knows what might happen from that when we meet the world in that way. So it can be helpful just to say one thing. So instead of a long monologue, just say one thing and let it go to the next person. Then they just say one thing and then they go to the next person. And then they go to the next thing, and they say one thing, and then it goes to the next person. There we go. I'm trying to learn how to do two things at once here. And if it's helpful, you can go in the order of the number of characters in the screen name. So if you have a long screen name, you would go last. And we'll meet for 14 minutes. Here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share about how that was? Yes, Kim.
I've been gone for a week, so I don't know the background, but I was wondering if you had a definition of true happiness.
No, we haven't really talked about it. And I was thinking that probably should be the next time when we talk about it. But one thing that I have been saying is that true happiness, as opposed to sometimes a pleasure and happiness, get conflated. Mm-hmm. And just to really make it clear that, no, we're talking about happiness, not just pleasure. So. Yes, Richard.
To follow up on that, I don't mean to give anyone a hard time, but I mean, I understand the sincerity of wishing someone well and wishing that they understood how to get true happiness or what's involved. But I don't know completely what's involved. I don't stop people on the street and talk to them about greed, hatred, and delusion, for example.
You don't?
I try to let my bubbly personality be its own selling point.
There we go. But is there something?
Well, I guess, no, it is true, and it's real, and it's fair to wish people, that they attain true happiness and that they understand what's involved. But you could do that without even understanding yourself what's involved.
Yeah, yeah. And true happiness will be different for different people, right? For Buddhists, maybe it will be the absence of greed, hatred, and delusion. You know, there might be something grand, but maybe it's something about the happiness of really showing up for somebody who's having a difficult time. The happiness of knowing I didn't run away, even though that was a really difficult thing. My close friend got a terrible diagnosis. And even though I myself were completely heartbroken, I still listen to them and process it and go through it with them or something like that. That's kind of like this true heaven. It's like, yeah, I hung in there, even though it was difficult. Well, that might be one way we can think about it. Yeah, Marie-Christine.
But it sounds like happiness is a state, not an experience. No, that's just what comes to mind. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, what would you say is the difference between a state and an experience?
Oh, gosh. Maybe a state reflects more an approach, a disposition, whereas an experience is that ongoing dopamine hit that we're forever after, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, as opposed to that, it's not a short burst, it's more, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we could talk about the absence of regret, the absence of remorse. Maybe we could talk about contentment. Maybe we could having some where the inner critic is not talking, like, okay, I showed up there, I did what I, or something like that.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, this is definitely worth exploring. What is true happiness? Yep. Absolutely, it's worth exploring and thinking for ourselves, and maybe it's worthwhile reflecting on. Okay. So, was there another hand? Nope. So I guess we're 1 minute after. Oh, Christine, do you have something you'd like to say?
Yeah. So what I found is when I did the dear person and the neutral person, like the phrases didn't make sense to me at all. But when it was me, it made total sense. And I feel very clear on what true happiness is. I mean, I just know what it is. And it made complete sense to me. But for other people, it seemed like I was, you know, like telling them what to do or, yeah, being directive.
Yeah. No. So we have these classical phrases and these are some alternative ones. And it's good to kind of maybe try them on and maybe we learn something and realize, you know what, the classical phrases work for me. I'm going to stick with those. Maybe for different people, just like you suggested, maybe different phrases for different people. But it's a way for us to, I think one way is to have an emphasis on a way that we can feel some resonance, some connection, and maybe some authenticity. Maybe sometimes some people are feeling like, okay, I'm wishing this difficult person well, but you know, I'm just not there yet. I just can't. But maybe I wish that they had some greater understanding. So that might be a way in which we can just work with difficult people, for example, something.
Well, when I got to the difficult person this evening, I was not able to have any goodwill. So I resorted to, may I be freed of the burden of ill will towards you. That's all I could do.
Perfect. Right. There's no reason why we can't be, kind of explore and discover things for ourselves. It doesn't have to be completely formulaic. It can be a big support to have a way that we do practice and have some consistency, but also without feeling oppressed or like it's the tyranny of having to do things exactly the same. So it's a little bit of a balance to have some exploratory experimental as well as to have some regularity. And each of us might have a little bit different balance with that too. So thank you, Christine, for sharing some of your alternative ways. Okay, so if you'd like, we can unmute and say goodbye. So goodbye and thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Neil.
Goodbye, Matt.
Thank you, Diana. See you tomorrow.
Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Jerry.